When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hail cheaters and welcome to the Always Cheating Podcast. My name is Josh Landon. I had a bad game week. Brandon had a bad game week. You listening to the podcast probably had a bad game week. Let's get through this together. Brandon, how are you?
I can at least say, Josh, that I do not play for or am affiliated with a club in crisis. So that's the bright spot for me right now. We will obviously have to talk on this podcast about clubs in crisis. But while my FPL team had a bad game week, and do you have anybody to play on Monday?
I don't.
I bench Matt Turner.
Yeah, I feel like some have Turner who may or may not play, right? There's like a chance that he was going to get dropped anyway, and then his wife had a baby, and so like he's maybe even more doubtful now. Like,
right.
Or do they let him play so he can like do the baby celebration if he somehow scores a goal? I mean, a goalkeeper does score a goal once every 4 years or so, so... Well, let's see.
I think we're due for a goalkeeper goal this season. We'll have to check Jonty's goals imminent table to see who the closest goalkeeper is.
Yeah.
What a dour Sunday. Saturday had some highs and lows.
Yeah. I like Saturday.
And it was interesting. And we must now reflect on your wild card, because you wild carded going into game week 5. How are you feeling about it?
Yeah, I'm feeling well. Okay, I like anyone in wild cards. You have those moments of instant regret, things that you wish you'd done differently. I think it seems clear now that I should have gone for Salah, which you were advocating for, and certainly made a strong case for, especially on the Patreon pod we did on Thursday. And I looked at it and I thought about it, and I really actually got kind of close late on Friday, because the news that Mel Augusto was going to be most likely playing for Reece James through the next international break was enough for me to think, okay, I could probably make this work. And, but it just, there was something to me about dropping Chilwell and Bruno, and which hilariously, right? Because Chilwell gets 0 points and Bruno gets one and Gusto gets a clean sheet, right? So it kind of couldn't have worked out, but more extreme. But I think what I will say is I'm on 43 points, and I am somehow basically on a red arrow overall, which feels a little harsh, but I'm up in all of my mini leagues, and I can tell you comprehensively that I would be doing worse if I had not wildcarded. Like basically all of the, I wouldn't have had Char. I wouldn't have had, I wouldn't have Alvarez. I mean, maybe I could have brought some of these players in on a wild card, but my team just wouldn't, I would have had something like, 10 fewer points in my squad. And so I feel fine with the wild card. I'm also set up now. I've got Morris for the double game week, a piece of advice of yours that I did take. So, I'm not normally in the position to take advice from you. It's not a place I'm comfortable being, Brandon. It's makes me
you are.
But I think you were right. You were right on both fronts, and I took you up on one, didn't on the other. But I honestly feel okay. I like the way my team looks for next game week. I have to decide if I'm going to just straight away burn four to bring in Mo Salah, and it really comes down to whether I want to stick with Bruno for one more week. I mean, they do play Burnley away. And so that is the big question, but that is kind of the big question, right? Yeah. The theme for this week's pod is who are we giving up on? And we're also going to talk about game week 6. And I would say that the Bruno is the one I feel pretty okay giving up on. He got like one last chance, basically. Maybe he'll get two last chances. We'll see what I end up doing this week. I went all in on Spurs though. And that was the one that really didn't pan out for anybody. right? I don't think, I mean, unless, yeah. unless you had not dropped Richarlison, which shout out to our friend Amy, who was in that camp. But in general, Madison got 1 point, Sun got 2 points, Doggy got 2 points. They were in complete control the whole game, the whole match. And yeah. And so it didn't work out from a fantasy perspective. I liked that it did work out from a kind of football justice perspective, because the Fotheringham, you know, stalling was so insane. It was absolutely, I could not believe. And so he did so much stalling in the match that they added 12 minutes of extra time. And yeah. anyone who wondered whether it was absurd to add that much extra time to the match, just look at what happened, right? It was the all of the stalling got punished, and then they scored their two goals in that giant amount of extra time. And it feels like yeah. it was totally justified. It all worked out great. So from a kind of, as a Spurs, I'm not a Spurs fan, but I felt good for the Spurs fans, because they really probably deserved to win the game. I actually thought they played really well. I thought they were passing well. I thought the shots were good. They had a couple moments. It was like the final third, but just like some of the passes into the box, I felt like were just a little lacking. And I felt like in another day, they could have, I thought, you know, like Madison, I was really impressed. I thought he played well. I thought Sun was a little bit anonymous. I don't know. Did you watch that Spurs match?
I was only watching that on Goal Rush, so I didn't see it in that level of intricacy, but with yep. Sheffield United playing more of a low block, it's going to just be like inherently more difficult to thread those needles once you get into the 18-yard box. So this incredible sure. photo of James Maddison celebrating, I think it was the second Kulusevski goal. He was laying on his back pretending to stretch his hamstring in front of a Sheffield United player, laughing maniacally, like, look at what y'all your time wasting did.
I know.
Now might be a it's good time for me to lay down.
I don't think of Sheffield United as being like this egregious time waste. It was just, there's something about that match. They were just really, it was like at some point in the second half, whatever. I don't want to talk about time wasting, but I thought it was an interesting match.
You go up a goal and you're away from home and you're in a position like Sheffield United is, where you don't know if you're going to survive the season or not.
Yep.
Most clubs in their position are going to try to shut up shop and do all yep. of those dark arts sorts of things. So, but yeah, I guess this is a case for the added extra time where it sees justice come to pass, and all these more prosaic clubs have to get hip with the times now.
Get hip with the times, Brandon. That's I like it. And Saturday was fun. And so I think there are times when you just feel you wild card and you have instant regret, like, oh, this, I didn't need to do it this soon, or I should have gone with a whole different suite of players. And I don't feel either way. Really, nobody had a great game week. It doesn't, I'm looking kind of up and down. I'm sure there's somebody listening who's putting their hand up right now and they had 75 points or something like that. But it seems like in general, the band of points was between 20 and 50, right? It was like, I mean, I saw people with like 18 points this game week. It was, there was yeah. kind of a version of, if you had Chilwell and you had, I don't know, like Estupinan, and like there was a version of your team where you basically had nine players for this game yeah. weekend.
I was looking at our Last Cheater Standing, which is one of our popular Patreon mini leagues, and I had 24 points after Saturday, and I was like, I've got to be at the bottom. It's like 100 people in that league. And yep. like the first screen of like 20 managers all had 17, 18 points. And I was like, wow, this is awful for so many managers.
Yeah.
I mean, the Saka points coming in today pushed me up to 34 points, where I'm going to be yep. all out. If I can survive Nottingham Forest clean sheet tomorrow, then I'll hopefully maintain this OR red arrow that I have dropping me down to 1.6 million. So it's like, continues to be for me just like a hold until I have a good game week. Feels like I haven't had a good game week since game week one now.
Yeah. And you know, that's the nice thing about having a really nice start is that you can tread water for a few weeks. Right. And mm-hmm. just sort of, it's not, it has not been so like you've not had a game week so like sort of spectacularly bad that you've you know had this. I guess you dropped 500,000 spots or whatever a couple weeks ago, but that's at this early on, that's like that's 10 points, right? It's just not that much and nothing to get too worked up about. So you're in 34 all out. I'm in 43. I think you have persisted with two Man United players, right? Are you
three? I have Onana. And goal, right, which is perhaps like the biggest LOL player I have this season, and just infuriating watching that performance from Manchester United. I thought
they are out of sorts.
Totally. I mean, the crisis club is you know, it's a cliche, but it is very apt when it comes to Manchester United. Chelsea, I think it's a little more complicated. But when you look at Manchester United, you're just like, nobody knows what's going on. And Marcus Rashford was at once the best player on the pitch, but also did not seem to be on anyone's wavelength. I thought he did. He was trying really hard to get Hoyland involved. I mean, the goal that Hoyland scored that was chalked off for Marcus Rashford taking the ball into touch, fair enough. And then he tried the same move like minutes later. So he was taking a lot of shots, but he was also doing what he could to get into position to feed Hoyland and his teammates. I thought he had a pretty good game, though he was getting a lot of stick from Manchester United fans. Bruno Fernandes is the bigger concern for fantasy managers because he went from playing right wing at the start of the match, which is not ideal for Bruno historically from a fantasy point of view, to basically playing center back near the end of the match.
It's so bad. It's so over. There's a very, very strong part of me that wants to move Son and Bruno to Salah and Enzo Fernandez, kind of the only option I could, like, that's what I would have to, like, I would have 5.2, I think.
And you're going to trade one crisis club for it. Yeah, I just said that Chelsea was more complicated, but is that the most prudent thing to move to a Chelsea asset right now?
Well, he's only 5 million. And so, you know, I don't even think I would actually start him in game week six if I did that move. And it might just be worth the -4, honestly. I think that's something we can talk about later. So, you know, there's a question from Illegal Wig. That's a good name. That's a good handle, Illegal Wig. And they said, how do you get over a terrible game week? And I have two thoughts here, Brandon, because I've had a handful to start the season. One is to apply context and remember that most people, if you had a bad game week and your team is not an insane team, most people probably had a terrible game week as well. And the other one is, and I highly recommend this one. This is a new one for me in my whatever I am, not quite young, not quite old these days. I don't want to say middle age. Depresses me, but you know, wherever I am, Brandon,
you're at the peak of your powers, Josh.
The peak of my powers. That's true. My peak of my earning power. That's what I'm going to start saying. When I now, as I enter the peak of my earning power, I will say what I have learned is I just don't think about FPL for like 4 days. I just completely, obviously, you log into the Always Change podcast. You give us a listen. We need those sweet, sweet downloads, Brandon. But after that, this is,
speaking of earning power.
Yeah, exactly. So, exactly. I've still got the hustle in me. So, but you, just check out. Just don't go on Twitter and get mad about stuff. This is the thing I used to do, and I would just get grumpy and angry, and that's like a different, I still have the kind of justice obsessed part of me, the like leaks are ruining the game part or whatever, whatever. At least it's like something I can still get fired up about. But like fired up about like unjust fantasy results, try not to do it. Fired up about referee decisions, really try not to do it. That's a big one for me. I just do not want to go down that road because that is, and it's true of all sports. Once you start getting mad about referees and umpires and everything else,
do you see this? Just
you'll
on
never
that
be
note,
able to turn off that.
There's going to be a weekly TV show now hosted by Michael Owen, in which they talk through with officials from the Premier League. They talk through controversial decisions. Do you think that's a good idea?
No, I don't. Like, because Are people like under the impression? I don't know. It's like these people are only, I don't know. It's very hard. It's like the yes. greatest athletes in the world going at lightning speed. And I don't know. It's like, do you want even more VAR? Cause that's not what I'm
sure. It is. It's like an abstract VAR of the masses after the fact, which is even more useless. And I think a huge problem, as Mike Dean demonstrated, is bringing celebrity and countless other referees for that matter, bringing celebrity into this referee culture is the worst thing you can possibly do. The best yeah. refereeing is ones that you just don't even know exist.
Exactly.
And to now exactly. give these referees these spotlights and to coach them into explaining their decisions is just going to make them yep. even more insane yep. and yeah. Out of touch from reality.
That's why I like Micah Oliver for that reason. He's like minimal fuss. I feel like he's very straight, and it's like he sticks to his decisions. But in general, you just don't pay too much attention to him. I would say he's the yeah. one. If Micah Oliver is refereeing game, I feel pretty confident that's going to be a pretty well called.
And speaking of following your decisions, like the pen call against or for Aston Villa at the end of that match, where it looked like they were going to overturn a clear penalty on Ollie Watkins. The fact that they got that one right after the fact, usually when a ref is called over to the screen, it's going to be overturned. And yep. It's still the fact that we had to go through that. It shaved.
Which
like
ref
a good,
was it?
Let's see. I don't know. I don't have his name committed.
That's all right. It doesn't matter anyway. This is not. We're going to turn this into the Michael Owen ref show, Brandon. So
Darren England. It was
Darren England. Okay, got it. But you know, Brandon, we have another big piece of news before we get into the main part of the podcast here, which is that the Cheaters are coming to England. Trip number 3 for the Always Cheating Podcast.
Third
Brandon,
time's a charm, yeah.
Third time's the charm. The last one was it wasn't ill-fated, except we came back to COVID. But our last trip was
a celebration of the old world.
Yeah. We literally saw the last two pre-COVID matches of the English Premier League. The last two they'll ever hold pre-COVID. Mm-hmm. We saw the Manchester Derby Saturday, March 10th or whatever it was. And then we went up to Leicester City.
That was Sunday. Sunday. And then the
Leicester. Sunday. Yes. Yeah, Sunday, then Monday was the Leicester match, exactly. So Sunday was Manchester Derby, Monday was Leicester match. And then we flew back, and basically COVID happened as we were.
It was great. There was nobody on our flight, which was really enjoyable.
It was great. We could just walk up and down the aisles. It was incredible. And then I remember we got back, and I remember I got back my wife, and I was like, we need to go grocery shopping like right now.
Storm's coming, babe. The storm yeah, is coming.
Exactly. So anyway, so we haven't been back since March 2020. So it's been God, 3.5 years, which is insane. It's kind of insane. It's been that long since March 2020. And so we're really excited. We have a couple of matches. Well, we have one that we are 100% going to, which is the Chelsea-Man City match, which is the late match on Sunday. We have a couple of other matches that we're looking at as well. We'll talk more about those as we get closer to actually getting those booked. But we have already booked hotel. It is happening. Mm-hmm. We're hoping to do a meetup that Friday evening. So if you want to hang out with the Cheaters, go to a bar, get a drink with us, keep your calendar open for it is game week 12, Brennan. So it'll be after the next international break.
November 10th, Friday, November 10th. Keep your calendars exactly. open.
Yeah. And so we'll be there November 11th. Which is, I think, Remembrance Day, right? So it'll be a poppy weekend. So we have to, you know, I don't know if we have to like fashion our own poppies, you know, homemade with cardboard, if they'll mm-hmm. they'll give us poppies. I don't know how the poppy situation works.
Is it disrespectful if you have a poppy that says Always Cheating on it? I mean, I don't want to suggest that England cheated to win the Great War. That seems irresponsible.
Which would be fine, right? I mean, as long as it didn't violate
whatever you have to do to win these things, you know.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Fly under the false flag or something, whatever it takes, you know. Anyway, so we're really excited about it. I think, and seeing Erling Haaland in person, that's something I'm especially excited about. I think that's going to be mm-hmm. awesome. We have been to Stamford Bridge once before. Great ground, amazing experience there. We have not been to the other two venues that we're looking at. I mean, I don't know why I'm being so coy about it, but we're looking at seeing West Ham and Palace as well on that trip. I want to knock out a couple of stadiums that we haven't been to. And so I think that'll be about half of the Premier League stadiums if we go to those. So that's kind of a fun, we're really looking forward to it. We're looking forward to meeting with people. We've met up with lots of listeners over the years. Like people like Nick Wright and Tom Cantle, and we've sort of taken us out and shown us the sites, Brandon. Yeah. And then we've had a couple of great meetups too.
That they've widened the turnstiles at Luton's ground, we can finally squeeze ourselves in there, and looking forward to that one day soon.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I won't go there unless the ground is heated though, Brandon. That's
heated seats.
I need a heated seats and a heated pitch. Okay, why don't we walk in the pitch after the match? I don't want cold feet. So that is happening. Once again, we'll be there the weekend of November 11th, Friday, November 10th being the day that we're planning for an Always Cheating meetup. So really excited to announce that, really hoping to meet some new people, some new listeners, and also some people who've been listening to the pod for, these many years. So thank you to everyone who supports the pod. I'll use this opportunity, Brandon, to feed right into our Patreon. You can support the podcast on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. You and I did a couple pods over the international break that I thought were really fun. I thought Josh's Odyssey, the Mind Pod, was a lot of fun. That's where I just ramble for about 30 minutes. And then you and I did a nice long, kind of tetchy wild card pod.
Giving you home truths that you didn't want to hear. Yeah,
that's true. I didn't want to hear some of these hard truths. We got a number of new Patreons over the last week, and I think being on wild card was helpful. So Brandon, you should go on wild card yourself very soon.
It's good for the Patreon content. Number. Big thanks to Sam Danby as well, who joined us to talk a little bit about FPL and playing football in Norway. So you're right, Josh. There was excellent content on our Patreon. Well, that was on the main feed. I'm getting that twisted. So let's just get to it and thank our new patrons. Big thanks to Nick Ashman, Tazimus, Scott, Tim McKinney, Jin Rang, Bibin John, Jane Ruffley, Mo, just Mo. Is it that Mo? We don't know. And Isaac.
Mo Tucker, perhaps, drummer for the Velvet Underground. That's possible.
Could be. Yeah. We are the Velvet Underground of FPL podcast. Isaac Delberry as well. Again, as Josh said, if you want to say thanks and get more FPL content in return, visit us at patreon.com/alwayscheating.
All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll take a quick break. We'll get back. We're going to talk about players we may or may not be giving up on. Nicholas Jackson, you know that some of us are looking at you.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, Brian, we're back. So players that we're giving up on, considering giving up on, we had a lot of questions. They were all kind of in the same bucket and maybe the same two teams. But I thought Scully summed it up pretty well. He said, so we need to get rid of all Chelsea and Man United players ASAP, right? So let's start with Chelsea. That was the match that was on today. They, Raheem Sterling gets a yellow card, 3 minutes into the match, create some chances. Nicholas Jackson had a nice shot from outside the box. Could have scored, hit the outside of the post. Maybe he should have scored there. I don't know. He had a lot of space in the box, but
he took, that's not the one that he should have scored on.
Talk to me about Nicky Jackson and how you're feeling.
I feel like it's impossible to sugarcoat it with Nicholas Jackson at this point. He's been awful. And I think the concerning thing about him is he's just really not strong enough. He's getting bullied off of the ball every time he touches it. And watching Bournemouth play against him, the word is out. Just go put a body on this guy and he'll wilt. So Chelsea are really relying on getting Nicholas Jackson the ball to his feet 6 yards out from the goal. And as we have seen over the last few weeks, even that is not a reliable way to get this guy to contribute to the team. So now you're at the point where he's got to be having a crisis of confidence on top of the fact that the team just isn't performing. So we've given him too many chances at this point, and we've identified players that are a better fit in our fantasy squads, from Alvarez to talked about Burnley and Luton strikers who you might just want to bring in as a gamble for the double in game week 7.
Yeah, it's coming up, 2 game weeks away.
Yeah. Hoyland, I mean, you know, we will talk a bit more about this when we transition to Manchester United, but even Hoyland looked like he had a better fantasy value than Nicholas Jackson. Yeah. So he's done. Yeah. Patience is
X lively is with Hoyland, you know, and I actually didn't, I did not realize that ball had crossed in real time. I mean, it's just the camera angle. It was not clear that the Rashford ball crossed the line.
I'm not convinced that it even did. I mean, you can show if,
I saw a little bit of green.
That doesn't even necessarily mean that it's out because the ball is round. So you can see green and it still could hang over the edge of the chalk. It could still be in play depending on the camera angle.
The ball is round, but yeah, that's true. I mean, the camera angle is never just it's not like they have drones that are hovering above the ball, you're right?
So you've heard of flat earthers. I feel like the referees are flat ballers.
I think they're right, personally, to chalk it off, but it was close.
I don't know. You got to give it the benefit of the doubt. And I'll tell you what, look at this freeze frame of when they say the ball.
Mike Dean.
The chalk line weird does this weird little zigzag. And I'm just like, I don't know. There are waves in your like tube television there.
Yeah. Was there another goal that got chalked off for the ball going out of bounds first? I feel like, was there one in the
Spurs Matoma had that happen, but they allowed the goal. If you remember, okay. I think that was from late last season.
No, I thought there was another moment. Maybe no one actually scored on the play, but I thought there was another moment where a ball went over the line this weekend somewhere. But it doesn't matter. So I think Jackson, I think it's over for him. And the fixtures remain good. I'm sure some people will have other problems to fix and they'll hold. But it's just not great. I mean, Villa are a pretty good team. And I think that they're going to give Chelsea a battle for sure. There's no reason to think that Chelsea are going to handle Villa.
Chelsea are not a good team. Let's be clear about that. And that's not like,
yeah,
I don't want
to. Pieces are there. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're not destroying them. I'm not trying to throw shade.
Right. They're so far from gelling at this point. And I think Pochettino is a good manager. It's so clear they need a lot more time for this to work. And Villa are just in a different state of their project. And so I think you'd favor Villa slightly in this fixture, maybe favor a score draw or something like that.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah, 1-1, 2-2, something like that feels like the kind of score I might expect from a game like this. Maybe 1-1. I don't what. Yeah, exactly. Well, anyway, I'm agreeing with you in a very long-winded way. So, and then you look even past that, Fulham away, Burnley away. I mean, that Fulham away fixture, sometimes you can get caught up and look at the fixture difficulty ratings on the site, you know. And I think that Fulham match could be a kind of tricky one, especially with Paulinho back now. And then Burnley, I mean, I just still don't have a read on Burnley. Let's see how they look tomorrow in that in that Monday match. I feel like I'm still kind of struggling to get a sense of just how their quality, you know. I mean, they really were quite good last season in the Championship. They have not shown that yet in the Premier League. And then from there, it's a terrible run of fixtures for Chelsea, right? Arsenal, Brentford, Spurs, Man City, Newcastle, Brighton, Man United. I mean, it's about as bad as it gets. And that takes you basically into December. So it's fine. Just move early. Sterling is slightly trickier, I suppose, because he still is doing a lot of good things, but it's just, he doesn't have a forward, right? I mean, I think that's, in some ways, that's the biggest problem, is he doesn't have anyone to convert these chances or draw attention away from him. And I think it just really impacts him and how much he can do from a fantasy perspective.
It does. Well, I was going to say something about Sterling, and he is the best player on the pitch for Chelsea at the moment, but how long can he weather this storm? I think the question is, where do you go if you have Sterling and you want to get rid of him? And Mbeumo, I guess, is the obvious move there. Does Sterling to Mbeumo feel like it's a priority? I think the thing with Nicholas Jackson is you're probably leaving points on the table with other forwards that you could have. Midfielders, I don't know. That price range for midfielders is kind of odd if you already have James Maddison and Mbeumo. Who do you move to? Because we have been talking for weeks about how it's all about midfielders. They are the ones scoring all the points so far this season. If we take away Arsenal, maybe we need to talk about Arsenal.
It's a
separate conversation.
Yeah.
Manchester United, we're about to talk about them. Their luster is kind of gone. I'm not sure where we're left to go with Sterling. Who would you bring in if you were getting rid of him?
Almost like you'd have to consider a formation change or something like that, right? I mean, I do think that Diaby for Villa has really played well. Had an offside, had a goal, you know, chalked off for offside. He's pretty much the same price point as Sterling. I think that I don't think he's just like a fallback option. I think he's a genuinely interesting option, and honestly, probably more appealing than Ollie Watkins, who just It's just not giving enough, right? For 8 million. Getting an assist in practically every game is good. Like that is good. It's just, you want that from like a 6-5, or I don't know. I mean, I guess if you were able to keep it up, if he was able to get you 5 points, literally every, you know, he'd be one of the top point scorers this season. If you were able to get 5 points every week, but it's,
yeah,
it feels there's something a little about, I think I score 37 assists
with them being assists. Yeah. It feels like at this point it's a magic trick. And it's not gonna just continue like this. He needs to contribute a few more goals to make you believe, all right, this pattern of fantasy returns feels sustainable. Because at this point, it doesn't.
Yeah, especially because Duren keeps coming in and scoring in like 3 minutes of match time, right? It's
like that's like the real magic trick, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like Watkins gets 4 minutes, gets 85 minutes every match, and then Duren comes in and scores. Yeah, he scored one goal in 16 minutes and one goal in 19 minutes. So it's not that I think that Watkins is trouble, but I don't know. But does he end up getting shifted to the left wing or something? I don't know. But so it's kind of, at the very least, it's kind of not what you want. But we're not here to talk about Ollie Watkins, Brandon. We're here to talk about other options. Yeah, I think you're right, though. I think it is a little bit tricky. I think Mitoma still belongs in that conversation. He's just dangerous. I mean, they have Bournemouth and Villa, even Liverpool at home. I think those are all fine fixtures.
So that's it. A lot of people would have wild carded Chelsea assets in if they triggered it really early and brought Sterling in when he was on fire for that one or two matches. So and in so doing, got rid of many of their Brighton mids because Brighton's fixtures were quote unquote like gonna turn bad for the worse. So but. Brighton versus Manchester United. Manchester United just were bad, but also Brighton made 6 changes in their starting 11 and still just completely dominated the opposition.
So I there's a part of me that wishes this was the first year I was watching the Premier League, and I'd be such a hardcore Brighton fan right now because they really are a fun squad to watch. And that guy, you pointed him out. Well, you and I went to see a preseason match at Red Bull Stadium in July, thanks to our friend Michelle. And Simon Ndingra was the player. You were like, keep an eye on this guy because he's awesome. And he showed it again in that Man United match. He's got a cool look too. I like the little kind of flash of blonde or whatever in his hair. I think that like it looks cool.
Yeah, he's got some swag, and I appreciate that. But to finish off on Chelsea, because we can't let Chilwell keep getting away with this, we talked about Jackson. Jackson is like 100% we're done with you. Sterling is we're done with you, but you know, we might have to deal with you later.
Yeah, you're fifth on the priority list. It's not a huge, you're not top of the list.
So Chilwell he gets benched in favor of Mudryk to play on the left wing. Mudryk, to his credit, looked better than he has recently.
I don't know. He was getting roasted online.
He was getting roasted by the X heads on X.com. He was getting roasted.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
but what I didn't quite then understand was what Pochettino was doing with the back four. Would not Chilwell line up nicely as a left-sided fullback to play behind Mudryk, and maybe you could get some more dynamism going there? So
there were some big danger signs going off. Yeah, of course we need to be worried. I mean, I just went through this with Gabriel, where you're like, Gabriel, the center back, the Arsenal center back, where you're like,
exactly. Who could forget?
And it was like, oh, don't worry. It was just a formation change. Everything will be fine. And I'm sure they'll reset at home for them. It's like, well, they did just keep a clean sheet, and I don't know. I mean, if Mudryk did play a little bit better, then why do I suddenly feel like they're going to play differently at home to Villa in game week 6? So at the moment, I consider Chilwell, who hasn't really been delivering that much anyway, right? Hit a great game week 1 performance. I am not planning to transfer him, but I am planning to bench him. And my bus team for game week 6, I have Chilwell on my bench. I just don't want to get another one pointer from him. That's basically how I feel. And I also think there's a good chance that Villa score. So yeah, there's a chance that he starts. There's a chance he gets an attack and return. There's a chance he gets a clean sheet and attack and return. Those are all things that could happen. But I think there's enough worry there about the squad in general, about whether he starts, that I think he's benchable and possibly just transfer outable. I think that there are some options like Fabian Schär, who you could just move to. They play Sheffield United in game week 6. I think he would make sense. If you had enough money and you don't mind spending 6.5 million on him, then I think the Trippier is an option as well for a Chilwell replacement.
Don't forget about Botman, who got max bonus and he's cheaper than all of them.
That's true. I think I don't actually know if his price actually did drop in the end, but I think he's 4.5. He was like right on the cusp of dropping. I suppose that's not going to happen now. Yeah. He's 4.5 million. Yeah. Runaway point leader for defenders. But yeah, I thought Schär looked good. I don't know. I got a little worried. He was on the ground for a while, but I got a clean sheet and a bonus point from him. He's, I think he offers a lot more attacking threat than Botman does too. So I think he's probably worth the 0.5. Mm-hmm. But it's, you know, if you can't get there, I think Batman's fine.
Yeah, I suppose I'm looking for extra cash, I guess, in this. You've already played your wild cards. So you're just kind of like the financial rules of the game are just like spelled out there for you. I'm just trying to bring more money into my team so that I can have some flexibility so I don't have to wild card. That's what pushes me toward Botman to save that money. So because I feel like I'm going to have a different problem pop up every week. So the same is true of people who wildcard. I mean, you're talking about problems. Do you want to?
Yeah,
you want to
solve? Exactly. Always true for all of us. Yeah.
Yeah. So that, I guess that's the simple case I make for Botman. I mean, we haven't even mentioned this to this point, but this is a big week for Champions League sides because the Champions League kicks off this weekend. So Tuesday, Newcastle are away to AC Milan, and Man City host Crvena Zvezda. Good luck to Man City in that one.
Be a very, very tough match.
Wednesday, Manchester United, good Lord, the hits keep coming for them, are away to Bayern Munich. Harry Kane is just going to have an absolute gas with that. And Arsenal host PSV. So for Newcastle, I don't think center backs are risk of rotation regardless of the midweek play, but I just want to be on the lookout for potential injuries and all that. But I do think a Newcastle defensive transfer would be high on my list this week, especially with lots of these unknown things going on with Chelsea and Manchester United. Should we move our focus then to Manchester United, who are away in Munich?
Just because we're doing it, I'll throw another defensive idea out there, which is a Brentford defender. I actually thought they played pretty well. They had there was a penalty decision, but outside of that, I thought that defensively they looked pretty good in that Newcastle match. They kept it pretty tight with them. I think the penalty came in the 70th minute or something like that. So I think you could look at someone like Pinnock at 4.5 million. Mm-hmm. They host Everton in game week 6, and Everton just really... it's just a real struggle for them right now. I mean, I don't know. I do not envy their supporters. I think this season looks like it could go really badly for them.
They can't score. Their big issue is they can't score goals. So that is in favor of the argument that you're making. It's just get defenders who are against Everton because they have no goal scorers.
It actually reminds me of Villa. Like, remember when Villa went down like 4 years ago, 5 years ago, and it was then they came back up with Grealish a couple of years, a year or two later. But remember, that was the problem they had. They had a couple years there where they were they had Benteke and they were just
Gabby and Bonglahor.
They just could not score. And it was like this, and it's kind of a similar thing because, big club, lots of supporters, and it was just these dreadful seasons where part of you is just like, go down to the championship for a year, play all your young guys, bring in some interesting kind of loans, see if you can get somebody who clicks, and then come back up with the new squad. I mean, that's kind of what Fulham finally did, right? And it's I don't know. So, and obviously, like, I'm not the one who has to have the massive financial loss of being, you know, out of the Premier League for a season.
Thank God. But not during these years of your peak economic power. That would be a shame.
It'd be tough to lose even 1 year during my PEP. All right. Yeah. So let's move on, because I think it is a pair here, which is Chelsea and Man United. And some of those Sterling alternatives that we discussed, I mean, Phil Foden, you've got to throw in there too, especially if he doesn't start at midweek, would be another option, especially because they host Sheffield United in game week six. So I think, or no, they don't host, they host, Man City host, Nottingham Forest, excuse me. They host Forest in game week six. So Man United, let's kind of do the same thing we just did, which is kind of look at some of the most highly owned players on that squad. So I think we can start things off though with the two obvious, which are, Bruno Fernandes and Marcus Rashford. We talked about Rashford a little bit. I agree. I thought he looked reasonably lively. I mean, it's just like, you just want more, right? You want more than reasonably lively for a 9 million midfielder, right? You don't want like pat on the back. You tried hard today. Mm-hmm. It's like, you kind of do want some goals and some assists ideally. And, but at least he's doing something. I mean, Bruno is just, he's running around a lot. He's very active. He's, I like him a lot as a player. I wish I didn't have to. It's almost like I might like him more if I didn't watch him from a fantasy perspective, because it's watching him fantasy wise, you're like, what are you even doing? Like, what's going on here? Like,
well, he's trying to cover for the horrible midfield.
You're right. It's not an indictment on him like as a player. It's just his fantasy impact is definitely being kind of dulled, right, by everything that's happening around the club.
Yeah, I don't know what's more awful right now, Manchester United's midfield or their defense. Their defense is honestly more of just more hilarious than
well, we'll
awful.
Get to the defense. Let's start with the midfielders.
Yeah. So the midfield against Brighton was Casemiro, Eriksen, and McTominay. I saw the stat. He completed maybe 20 touches on the ball, and the other two mids had 50. He just like wasn't 20. Involved wow. at all in the play. And Casemiro has gone from, well, Manchester United really shouldn't be signing this guy because he's too old. And then he was a revelation last season. And now suddenly he's too old at 31. Yep. And Christian Eriksen had one incredible turn early in the first half, during that first 15 minutes where it looked like Manchester United might actually play well against Brighton. And and then from there, all the wheels came off, and Rashford was really the only one who could seemingly carry the ball up the field. And then he was kind of just doing his own thing. So the problem is there's either a complete lack of organization with the Manchester United midfield and attack, or there is a complete lack of fitness with this team. Yep. And I do not think they were helped at all either by the fullbacks. Reguilón, who came from Spurs, I thought was awful. He was so out of his depth. And granted, maybe he's not, you know, he's not played first team football
he was
for
like,
a while and all
when
that.
We thought he was like the next Trent. Like there was a moment where Reguilón was like the hottest name in fantasy. This has been a few years now.
So it's just front to back. It's not working. How worried should you be as a fantasy owner? I feel like Chelsea might be the biggest priority, because just looking at the quality of chances that just Rashford on his own was creating, and with somebody as mobile and motivated as Bruno, I think you're already a step ahead of where Chelsea is. So if you've got what you feel like is a bigger priority than Rashford or Bruno, fine, fair enough. I'm planning on keeping both of them depending on what goes on midweek in the Champions League. But
keeping both.
Well, it's that it's,
both just feels like a lot. It's like
it is a lot, and I wouldn't. I'm not going to sit here and say like this is some sort of strategy that's like coming.
Yeah,
to,
I mean, yeah. what's the argument for holding on to Bruno? Is it just fixtures? Because there's nothing. We're getting nothing from him from like a fantasy perspective.
Yeah,
right?
I don't think there's any argument for holding on to him. And certainly, if you were building a team from scratch right now, no one would be advocating for having any Manchester United players. Maybe you could advocate for take a punt on Hoyland because he's a cheap second or third forward, or maybe you advocate for Rashford because you believe he will come good. But beyond
the problem with Hoyland is it's like another Nicholas Jackson thing where it's just like, do I want to take a punt on somebody who's just probably not ready for serious minutes?
Yeah, or just like there are too many unknowns with him still. Mm-hmm. The point I was getting to, though, is the getting rid of them is another conversation than not having them building the team from scratch. I think the only reason to get rid of these Manchester United guys right now is if you're pivoting to Mo Salah, I think.
I think we can split this because I think you're right. I think Bruno out is something that feels more palatable to me. Like if I had both, Bruno out is the one that feels like the bigger priority, and Rashford feels like it would be nice if he was doing more, but it's okay to hold him for now. But because I mean, they do have a good run. The problem is the fixtures aren't going to fix the no Mason Mount, the no Antony. I mean, Antony, like, I don't know what's going to happen there, right? Like, is he going to slot don't back in? I mean, they have to be really careful, right? After everything with Greenwood, and they're kind of pilloried for not handling that well, you know, like last month. And so I don't think they want to kind of be right back there again. And so I don't know any of the facts of the case. Right. But whatever, you know, it's just a mess. Right. And so it's like, they don't have Antony. They don't have Mount. They don't have Jadon Sancho. Right. Who is, I don't know, like mad at Erik ten Hag.
He refuses to apologize, which is the most childish thing you can see. Yeah.
It's just a mess, right? They don't have Luke Shaw, who's a great creator and also opens up space for Bruno. Yes. And they don't have Varane. What they do have though, Brandon, is Hannibal. Okay. I thought Hannibal was a nickname. I didn't know this guy's name was actually Hannibal. That's incredible. So a big fan of Hannibal, comes on and scores a goal in 26 minutes. I am team Hannibal from now on. I'm going to start a new Patreon tier. That's the Hannibal. Yeah. I don't even know yet. I got to come up with something.
Everybody gets a nice bottle of Chianti when they join the Hannibal tier.
Exactly. Fava beans and a nice Chianti tier. I finally saw, this is a total, regards unrelated, but I finally saw Manhunter. You ever seen Manhunter, the kind of prequel to Silence of the Lambs?
I've not seen it. No.
Oh, it's good. Recommend it.
We'll check
it
out.
You and everyone listening. Yeah, it's good. It's a good one. All right. So yeah, the attacking wise, I think Bruno, it's fine. I mean, I don't know. I mean, again, it's like, yeah, they play promoted teams in two of the next 4 weeks, but do you really want to hold, given all the mess right now? I mean, I'm really thinking about this seriously as someone who has Bruno in my squad. And I kind of agree with you, which is that I don't see a great kind of instant, like kind of lateral move that I want to make. And so part of me is like, do I just drop Son kind of immediately and just turn Son and Bruno into Mo Salah and somebody who costs 5.2 million or less? I sort of looking at Enzo just because he plays a lot of minutes and is probably still on pens and seems like an okay option. But I think otherwise I kind of agree. There's no one like, if you didn't have Madison already or you didn't have Mbeumo, then I think those are two great options. I think even with Arsenal away, I think that he's just on everything. Right. And it's like, he's getting a lot of space just outside the box. Yeah. I'm really impressed with how he looked yesterday and obviously, you know, throughout the entire start of the season. Son, and I guess we can go on to our next one here. We didn't really talk about the Man United defense, but I'm not sure there's much to say, right? It's just they're like totally banged up. They're banged up and the midfield's not helping, right? Yeah. But yeah, Dave Elsia, LS Cheater Standing Stato says, for those of us who bought Son this week, do we hold or sell? So do you think it is worthwhile to move Bruno and Son to Salah and player X for a -4? Is that a worthwhile -4? Or do I just keep Bruno for one more week and I can bring Salah in game week 7 without taking a hit?
Well, that's a good one. Mm-hmm. I guess it depends on what kind of manager you are / want to be. I think the aggressive move is to get Salah in on the hit.
Yeah.
Because everything is kind of pointing toward, we told you, Salah, not us, but the royal we, that Salah was going to remain consistent this season, and he's proving that. You love to see it. And you're not getting that same consistency from Son or Bruno, as good as they might look in any given match. So that's just like the smart, aggressive thing to do. It's like, and I do want to kind of like walk back what I was saying about, like, well, what are you going to do if you get rid of these Manchester United guys? This is always a problem for me, is the danger of being a passive fantasy manager. And there's a difference between being patient and waiting for these guys to come good and just being totally passive to the what's happening. And what's happening is Manchester United are a club. It's just a crisis club. It's not working.
Yeah.
Management, ownership, playership. Yep. It's all rotting in front of our eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got to act on that. So I do think the Son Bruno to Salah for a hit. Yeah, I like that as an aggressive move.
Here is the other one thing you could that may sway people a little bit and what you want to do and whether you want to burn points early. And one of the reasons I might just go ahead and do it now and just sort of basically correct what was probably a mistake on my wild card. Not that I think Son is this like disaster just because he didn't score in one match, by the way. It's just whether I think that long term I really want to be doubled up on Spurs. Maybe I might have just gotten a little too over my shoes with the game week 5 fixture, thinking, oh yeah, they're gonna like really just crush Forest in that match. And is one thing you want to think about too is that for game week 7, I'm already in kind of a tricky spot with my defense. You have the Dogies, they're hosting Liverpool, so you think there's a good chance that Liverpool score in that match. Stupinon, they play Villa away. Not like terrible, but not like a great fixture either. You have the Chilwell situation now too. So it's like you might be in a position where you kind of want to make a defender transfer in game week 7. And so, or you maybe you want to try to bring in Morris, right? And you want to go for the, try to attack the double at least a little bit. I mean, I think one player feels like plenty for me on the wild card, but still. So it's kind of like if you're going to have to make 3 moves in the next 2 weeks anyway, then sure, make the -4 now. And because how many goals do we see Spurs scoring at Arsenal? Like between 0 and 2? I mean, 2 is probably the upper end, right? And one feels like probably what we'll see. And so if you're looking at one goal and you've got 2 midfielders from,
I don't know. I think that's going to be like a basketball game, I should say. I think that's going to be 3-4 or something like that. I mean, the way Postecoglou plays is it's just like a take no prisoners, let's press, let's attack. And Arsenal will probably love that and eat that up if they can play it just the right way. But I think Spurs will, I think it's going to be a pretty open, exciting match.
Okay. Well, that's the case for holding Son then, right? As,
yes.
Dropping Bruno and Son. Those are 2 very good players. But again, like if you put together a good team, then anytime you bring in someone you really want, you're going to be dropping a good player and a player that you added yourself to your squad, right? If it's not an auto pick squad, it's a player that you believed in at one point. So you're always kind of
some responsibility.
Yeah, there's always an element of that's what's going to happen. And I think that Salah is he's just so consistent. I think that's what it is. There's kind of this new idea. Is he last season's Harry Kane, which is just like he's not absolutely blowing the doors off, but it's just every single week he gets an attack in return. And that's so valuable. And I love players like that. And so, who doesn't, right? But it's like you don't need a ton of upside, right? You just want, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's kind of like Watkins a little bit too, where it is nice just to get, I mean, God knows Watkins 5 was more than most people got from most of the players in their squad this week, right? So but at least with Salah you get the 5 points as like a kind of floor, and then there's always the possibility, right? If that goal doesn't turn into an own goal yesterday, I think he's on probably 14 points for the match, right? So a little unlucky to only get 10 points in that Wolves match.
Nicholas Jackson has 4 yellow cards right now. Just it's disgusting.
And so a lot of players have picked up a lot of yellow. It's weird. Like, do you have a yellow card table there? Who else has a lot of yellows so far
on the season? I don't have a table here. I was just admiring Nicholas Jackson's fantasy page profile, which is scary reading.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've got it here. So Anthony Gordon is on four. How did Anthony Gordon get four yellows? I thought he was so Gordon's on four. Jackson's on four. Your boy Ola Aina is on three, along with Bruno Fernandez. So he's even close to a suspension. Nelson Semedo, Bruno Guimaraes, Aaron Hickey, and Emerson. So Emerson is on three. Oh, and then Lucas Paqueta too. So there's, you know, not obviously a ton of fantasy assets, but obviously Nicholas Jackson beat on four means you might as well just he's going to get a yellow probably the next match, right? So just move on.
Yeah, you've got to take this into your own hands and just get rid of the punk. Yeah.
Maybe he needs a week off to. So are you going to drop him this week? Like, what are your transfers? You got two. What are you planning right now?
Right now, what I want to do is move Pau Torres to Botman, Sven okay. Botman, and Nicholas Jackson mm-hmm. to Julian Alvarez. Okay. So both of these moves are contingent on what happens with Newcastle and Man City on Tuesday in mm-hmm. the Champions League. If everyone comes through unscathed, then those are the moves that I make.
Yeah. You'd ideally not see Alvarez play 90 minutes, right? That would be ideal if he didn't play the full match.
I would love to see him start from the bench. That would be a dream come true. And then it's Jackson all day to Alvarez. Yep. And I like Watkins as my like least favorite striker. That now he's my second favorite striker in my team, second only to Erling Haaland. I feel like that's putting undue pressure on the lad.
Yeah.
Let's give him a break. Move him to the third spot.
He could score in that Chelsea match for sure. I think I like those moves. Those moves both make sense to me. They both seem pretty sensible. Yeah. And I guess that, I mean, even if he does play 90 minutes, you might still want to make the move anyway, right? Because I doubt he's going to play 0 minutes.
He's already risen in price since the deadline passed. So, I mean, he's at 6.8 now. Yeah. He'll be maybe 7 million by the time game week six deadline comes around.
All right. Let's go to one final question from Bob Warlord. He says, would you wild card if you only have two playing defenders and the rest of your team stinks?
I'll think about it for sure.
Yeah.
You sound like you're in a situation, Bob, where all hope is lost.
Sometimes you got a wild card to get yourself back engaged with the game. So it worked for me. I'm feeling much better about things. Even though I had like a B plus game week, I'm feeling much better about things.
Good.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a break and get back and we'll take a quick look at game week six. All right, Brian, we're back. Game week six kicks off on Saturday. Another keep tinkering with the schedule. We got the there's no early game on Saturday. Instead, we have three 10 a.m. in East Coast time, 10 a.m. fixtures. And then there's a lunchtime fixture, Brentford Everton. And then you have Burnley Man United as a 3 p.m. on Saturday game. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? Late game on Saturday. And then Sunday, we have four matches all on at the same time. And I know the Champions League is a factor here, but still, four matches all at the same time. And then Sheffield United hosting Newcastle to end things on Sunday. No Monday match, no Friday match. So a clean FPL classic, if you will, Brandon. And there's a question here from American FPL. And he said, what are some games that could be great for watching and for FPL, right? So at first I didn't understand what he meant, and then I thought about it. I was like, I see what he means here, or she, what they mean here, Brandon. Which is, what are what games will be fun? Like, if you were with, you know, your, like, my family is often subjected to me watching Premier League games, right? Sure. And early in the morning when my, you know, kids running around and, like, you know, I don't know, like, yeah, my wife's like making breakfast or whatever, and I'm just like obsessively, you know, I've got two screens going.
It's
and
like Norman Rockwell picture you're painting here.
It's true. You know, it's not bad, honestly. Sometimes it's not bad. But what are some ones that could be fun matches for the whole family, Brandon? And it also could be important for FPL. I think Well, it kind of depends on what you're looking for in a match too, right? Like Man City Forest should be a fairly one-sided affair, I would think. And sometimes that's fun. But I think Liverpool, West Ham, I think that could be a fun one. West Ham are, I don't know. I just like they've got like a little extra something this season. And Arsenal Spurs, obviously, too. North London Derby.
Yeah, I think North London Derby is the obvious answer, but we've got to counter program that because that is the obvious answer. I do think Brighton Bournemouth is going to be fun. Bournemouth are not being talked about, and they're probably ecstatic about that because they have been playing with a high degree of competence so far this season. And the points will, I predict, eventually come. I think, and Brighton tend to, I feel like, they're an incredible team this season, but I feel like they can sometimes bring themselves down a couple of gears when they play an opponent like Bournemouth. So I think it'll still be kind of competitive. I agree with you on Liverpool, West Ham. What about James Ward-Prowse? If I'm getting rid of Bruno Fernandes, diving header from James Ward-Prowse, was that on your bingo card this weekend?
He is. I'm glad you brought him up because he's playing so well. He's just a round peg for a round hole. It's such a good fit with him in West Ham. I like him. I'm just glad it worked out. And so I'm all about this. He didn't play game week one, but every game week since then, he is not blanked. He had 9 points game week 2, 6-3, 7-4, and 7-5. So, yeah, very impressive. And that's at home to Man City too. Not an easy match by any stretch. They actually really could have drawn that match. It was a little 3-1 makes it seem like it was kind of a handy match, but I thought it was pretty tight.
Agreed. Totally. Give me your prediction for on Saturday. I'm trying to find some fun fixtures. Give me your prediction for Brentford hosting Everton. What do you think is going to happen there?
That feels like 2-0 Brentford. That's got 2-0 Brentford written all over it.
Everton really have to do something here, and I don't know that they're capable of doing it. I like Brentford a lot here. I'm just trying to kind of gauge how competitive it's going to be, because I think Everton can at least, they have a midfield. It's just kind of a midfield on a highway to nowhere is the unfortunate thing. So I wonder if they've set up maybe a little more defensively against Brentford.
I like that midfield on the highway to nowhere. It's beautiful. You know, you really. and we didn't really necessarily combine the fantasy. I mean, Arsenal Spurs is the one that will obviously have some fantasy stakes. I'll have at least 2 players in that match, as will almost everybody. Chelsea Villa, we'll see. I may actually have 0 players in that match now. Kind of depends on, I don't know. The Chilwell thing, I think, is a real mess. And unless we somehow Pochettino just comes out and says I'm Chilwell starts, I doubt we're going to get a leak because it's it's Sunday, so it's he may not even know himself, right? What the squad's going to look like on Sunday?
Yeah, Levi Caldwell is just so freaking awesome that he's got to play every game. Get out of here with this, Poch.
Almost scored. He was off.
Congratulations! Anyone can score in a set piece.
Okay. I think it's a mess though. The Chilwell situation is a mess. And so I think you're right. Saturday is the day to skip though. If you're going to have to skip a day, I think Palace Fulham has a kind of that's like more like pure watch territory though.
Oh yeah, that's one for the hipsters right there. Yeah. Palace Fulham. Yeah. Don't let the family catch you watching that match, or they're going to ask you, is daddy or mommy okay?
even though you and I've spent all week talking about how excited we are to go to Selhurst Park.
I've got nothing but love. I've got nothing but love for both these clubs, and I'm honestly looking forward to it. But
I don't know. Did we answer his question? I don't know. I like the way we answered it though, whether it was accurate or not. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We talked about transfers. You mentioned your 2 moves already. I am either going to, honestly, it's kind of one or the other. Either I hold my transfer, or I make a -4 and I bring in Salah. I don't really know what other moves would make sense looking at my squad. It feels like, and I guess the question for me is just, do I really want to have 2 Spurs away to Arsenal? It's hilarious because of course I should have been asking myself this question on my wild card, but I just got a little excited about, it's like sun fever. It wasn't just because everybody else was talking about it. I was excited about it too. It's like, hey, the guy scored a hat trick. He's playing up front. But I wouldn't say I was like blown away by his performance in that Spurs match. I thought he was okay.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the problem with him the last couple of years is he's just running kind of hot and cold. And now
explodes and disappears. Yeah.
Richarlison is suddenly filled up with good vibes after orchestrating that win. Does he come back in and play the nine and Son gets pushed out wide again and becomes, you know, kind of ineffective?
He might. So do you think, let's move on here, Brian. One last question, which is, who is our ex dog and him of the week, brought to you by our very lucrative sponsorship with the hit movie Strays?
Yeah. And I would encourage everyone to go to the movie theater to see Strays. It's great to see on the big screen, but
theaters
I don't think you have to rush because, you know, theaters like to have a long run with a movie to get the Academy Award nomination. So I think Strays is well in line to lock in that Best Picture nom. So I think it's going to be in theaters for a while now. And Johan Wisse is also coming to a theater near you as Game Week 6 ex-dog in him. I think Johan Wisse against Everton is going to be barking and biting and scoring goals.
Okay, I like it. I'm going to go a little off the board with this one, Brandon, but I'm going to stick to my guns here. And I think that Hannibal is my ex-dog and him of the week. I think that Hannibal is going to come off the bench, score another goal. He's the next, you know what he is? He's the reincarnation of Dimitar Berbatov, Brandon. And I think that we're going to see a lot more Hannibal in the years and decades to come.
Wow. Is his first touch? What have you seen of Hannibal's first touch compared to Berba's?
Second. Yeah, you know what I like about him, actually? Hannibal's got a great third touch. And that's people don't talk about
that's
a third touch.
That's when he really
draws
the ball under his spell, and it's the third touch. Yeah,
exactly. He's got one of the best third touches you'll ever see.
The intense focus he has as it comes off of his chest, it's his thigh.
Yeah, exactly.
Incredible.
All right, let's roll
the end credits. If you like what you hear, you want to say thanks, get more FPL content in return, Josh and I will be back Thursday night doing our Patreon podcast ad-free for our supporters. Go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. You also get instant access to our Discord chat forum. I was really enjoying the live match day chatter this weekend, and it helped boost my enjoyment of some of the duller fixtures on Sunday. Patreon.com/alwayscheating. We appreciate all of your support. Josh, go ahead and take us through our producer patrons.
I will. Yeah. And I like that we have some new one name producers near the end here, Brandon. It's a Madonna style. And I've seen these people go through their lives just using one name as well. I don't think it's just for the producer groups. Mike DiPietro, Trevor Ingerson, Chris Howell, our buddy, Babas Kuhn, James Holland, Dave Wagner-Lodahl. Dave, why did you suck me into NFL fantasy? My team stinks this year. Nick Wright, Lazarus Yanos, Jesse Halstead, Bruce Kerr, Brian Chin, Blair Jacobson, Todd Byerly, Andy Portlock, at FPL Merch, Kerry Swanson, Jefferson Turner, Buffalo Wild, Mings, Francis Moore, Sam Schauer, Caleb Robbie, Vulgar, Paulson, Kruger, Alex Holcomb, James Keatley, The Saint, Bob Fox, Craig Jackson, Shalin F. Kadakia. A lot of producers right now. It's exciting to see you, Brennan. Terrence O'Donnell, Paul Hertzig, Heath Cram, Thomas Tisloff, Nolan Louise, Travis Grant, Julio Pena, Linus Winterstrom, Dan Parsons, James C., Matthew Skinner, Farrow Jacobson, Brennan, Daniel Hart, and our newest producer patron, Lolly. Thank you so much to everyone who supports the podcast. You can find the podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Acast. You don't hear too much about Acast these days. I'm curious, if you're listening to this podcast on Acast, reach out. Let us know about the experience.
We want to talk.
If you listen on something that we don't talk about in this pod, I would be very curious. So let us know. Email us at Hail Cheaters. Instagram us at Hail Cheaters. Facebook is facebook.com/alwayscheating. You can message us on any of these platforms to tell us what podcast platform you listen to, if it's not one of the ones we've already talked about. You can also email us hailcheaters@gmail.com. You can find all sorts of information and how to subscribe to the podcast or become a Patreon supporter at alwayscheating.com. Thank you for listening. We really hope to see some of you, our UK-based friends, in November. Once again, it's the weekend of November 10th through the 12th. We'll be here. And November 10th is the day that we're looking at for our Always Cheating Listener Meetup.
Terrific. Yeah, and that's a Friday. So, you know, you just go straight from the office throw one back with the cheaters. It'll be a good time. Details to come. Speaking of NFL, Josh, what happened to the Lions today? I saw that they lost in overtime to the Seahawks.
My wife, I actually had to say to my wife, because she was laughing at how annoyed I was, and I had to say, it's not funny. That's always a bad sign.
Wow.
Because I was so...
That makes it funnier.
They lost overtime. I know, because they lost overtime. And I was like, I can't believe this. I was like, why do I ever watch this team? And I was just, you know, and she was like, of course she was like, I would have laughed too. And then I actually said, like a four-year-old, it's not funny.
Bless you. That is being a sports fan in a nutshell right there. All right. I'll talk to you Thursday, Josh. And have a good one.
Soon. All right. Sounds good. Bye.